The only way to mitigate not being successful is to not quit. That's it. If you don't quit, you might make it. And if you quit, you definitely won't. And honestly, I think after all the years I've seen people make it and not make it, the only common denominator is that.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
Well, you knew it wouldn't take but 1 second before we would mess something up on this season 7 of The Commercial Break. And man, did we. I forgot to press record on my actual, the board that brings all the microphones in that makes it sound so smooth and sexy, like you're hearing my voice right now. So since I forgot to press record on the very first episode that we record for season number 7, we're going to sound a little tinty and shallowy on this particular episode. I would rather put it out than not put it out, so I'm going to do that. But just bear with the audio quality. It's not terrible, but it just sounds like you're watching us in a tin can. Or we're in a tin can. Or you're in a tin can. We're all in fucking tin cans. It's 2026. I don't know what to tell you. It's all going to hell in a handbasket. But we're so excited that season number 7 is here. It's upon us. We're bringing new episodes. We're recording live on youtube.com/thecommercialbreak Tuesdays and Thursdays. And we've now decided that we will do between 2 and 4 episodes a week, depending on which week it is and depending on how we're feeling. We're not limiting ourselves. It's cap off, kids. All gas, no breaks. You know how we like to do it. We promise one thing, we deliver another. Stay tuned. It's going to be a very exciting season of TCB. Okay, here it is. Episode officially number 884, but unofficially number 890. Season number 7 starts now.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Chris and Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chris.
Hey, best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast and streaming universe. Season number 7 starts now.
Woo!
Crazy.
I can't believe
it. Insane. 6 years, 7 seasons. We say that every year. Yeah, we said it season 1, too.
And Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you. We will not be saying that until October.
No.
I was laughing because Chrissy was like, hey, we've been out of touch for like, not out of touch, but we haven't talked on the
phone. Yeah, it's been the holidays.
On the phone for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And so she said, hey, call me. Let's talk before we talk. I said, okay, why not? And I was laughing because when I called her, I wanted to say Happy New Year. And I was recalling that in 2023, season number 5, for the first 10 months.
Yeah, that was our tagline, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We were wondering just how long we could get away with it. And I think we took the joke too far.
We did.
So we won't be doing that again. But, you know.
But we're still in the first 6.
Yeah,
we're the early.
There's
early
a
stage.
Bubble. There's a there's a little shine there for the first week or two of
Absolutely.
The new year. You can get away with it. I'm still saying Happy New Year. I said Happy New Year to the kids at the Starbucks today.
I said Happy New Year to everybody here at the house.
Yes, yeah. Well, that's appropriate because you haven't seen them in
right.
New York. Yeah, I think the rule is if you haven't seen someone in a new year, and it's still January. You can say Happy New Year.
Yes.
Yeah, if it's February, you just sound like a shithead. You just sound like you don't know what you're talking about. Welcome back. Season number 7. Chrissy and I are excited to kick down the door and get back to life here in the studio. We have taken an immense amount of time.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, between sicknesses and travel.
I was laughing to myself, too, thinking about last year. I mean, I think we recorded like every single day in December.
We did. Yeah, I think we even recorded on Christmas Eve, if I'm not mistaken. We did.
And this year,
we took it all of December off.
Yeah.
And it felt good.
It did.
It felt good.
We needed a recharge.
We recorded very little between Thanksgiving and today, really. I think we recorded like, I don't know, maybe 7 days total. And it felt very good. So thanks for hanging with us. Thanks for listening to the TCB Classics and some of the interviews that we had sitting in the can.
We did do a lot of interviews. I remember that.
We did a ton. And that 12 days of TCB, I think we did 7 interviews or something like that. And then like the 7 hours of TCB or whatever. It was all a lot. And that's okay. We were excited to do it. And we're excited now just to
Be refreshed.
Be refreshed. Yes. Recharge. Refocus. Get our shit together. Feel good about coming into the studio a couple times a week. And hopefully you feel the same. We're excited. Season number 7. So no more talk about that. Tuesdays and Thursdays, Chrissy and I will be here live on youtube.com/thecommercialbreak or restream.io/thecommercialbreak. You can go watch us sometime between 1 and 3 p.m. We'll go live. I don't want to say exactly when.
We'll just mess it up.
Yeah, I'm not going to pin anything on there. And then we will be putting out 2 or 3 new episodes every single week on the RSS feed. So stay tuned. And maybe we'll run some... I thought about this. There's a lot of people who texted in. They have their thoughts and their opinions about the new schedule. Most of them very supportive, extremely positive. I don't think I had one like super negative comment about all, which indicates to me that we're probably doing the right thing. Like if we were slimming down and people were like, no, don't do that. I'd love 4 fucking hours of the commercial break every single week. Then I think we would hear it, but we didn't hear it. With a couple people, but most people were by and large supportive. But there were a lot of people who said, I just jumped in season 5. I jumped in, you know, season 6, whatever. So what I might do is on Fridays, I might rerun TCB classic episodes. I'll pick ones that I think are notable for some reason. Yeah. Maybe interviews that we liked or whatever. We'll rerun them on Friday. You can choose whether or not you want to listen to it. And then, you know, maybe we'll still have 4 episodes a week, just in a different way. So we'll figure it all out. Stay tuned. Everything is flexible. We're bending to the will of the podcast gods right now. And
yeah, I mean, this industry is still the Wild West.
Very much.
It's growing and changing.
It's
and
growing.
We're having to change with it.
Yeah, we're changing with it. And one of the things that we have always wanted to do is be more interactive with the listenership, be engaged with them. So by doing these live on youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, you can chime in via chat, or soon we'll have the ability to, I mean, we have it now, but we're not doing it today. We can have the ability to bring people in on video. So you can kind of do a FaceTime call with us and we'll do that in the future. So chime in, we'll be ready. And then maybe on Instagram. You don't know. We don't know.
The world is our oyster.
We're starting afresh. Mm-hmm. I feel like we have a brand new commercial break. And Astrid's ready to change the curtains. So that's how yes. I know it was time for a change.
We're
going to change out the curtains. Furniture. That's coming. Yeah, the furniture and the curtains is coming. She has a big bug in her boo about this. She thinks, I love these chairs.
She
personally,
does a great job.
She does. I love these chairs personally.
Too.
But she says it's time to freshen it up. And I was like, we just got these last year. Why do we have to change it up? And she's like, that's the time when you change it up. You do it for a year and then you change it up.
Okay.
The fuck am I supposed to know? I'm just a man. I'm just a guy. Just trying to feel my way through all my feels and testosterone.
Yeah, chairs are nice. They spin.
That's the best part about them. I told Astrid, no non-spinny chairs.
Mm-hmm.
You get non-spinny chairs, I'm going to feel stuck. My ADHD isn't going to play well with non-spinny chairs. Spinny chairs only. That's the rule. Change these things to fucking bright, you know, turquoise if you want to. But do not take my spinny chairs away. I only want spinny chairs.
That's right.
And leave me a place for this big, ugly board that she says is ruining the mood. It's ruining the mood. It runs the whole show. What do you want me to do?
It's got pretty lights on it.
It does have pretty lights on mm-hmm. it. Speaking of pretty lights, you spent Christmas down in Naples, Florida.
I did.
I love Naples, Florida. God
it was
bless America.
So nice and relaxing. We're so fortunate. We really are. Jeff's mom has a place down there. And so we went down there for Christmas. We've done that before in the past. Not every Christmas, but
yeah.
We've done it quite a few years since we've been together. And this time we had all of the brothers and their families came too. So it was a big reunion.
Wow, it was
so much fun. We did big dinners and all went to the beach and did the pool. It's just so nice when that's the biggest decision you make every day is, are we going to the pool or the beach?
Yeah.
Or both, but in what order?
Yeah.
And, you know, went on nice walks. It was beautiful.
Fuck
75.
You. Fuck you.
Can't you be happy for me?
You know, I can't. No, no, I'm not going to be happy for you. That's asking too much. Now, of course, I'm happy for somebody.
No, I know. And I know you'd love Naples.
I'd love the beach. That's what I love.
Yeah.
I love the beach. And we also had a chance to go to the beach and they experienced historic cold temperatures.
Yeah, there was a weird cold front that came through.
It just blew on through the 5 days we were at the beach for Astrid's birthday. But, you know, hey, listen, I'm going to say this. I said it before. I'll say it again. I would take a cold, rainy day at the beach over a warm, sunny day at work every day of the week. I mean, it's
there
just
is
the
something
truth.
Magical about the beach.
There really is. And I know that people that live there, I've talked to them and they're like, hey, yeah, there's a beach there, you know? And it's like, how can you get used to the beach? I understand if I lived there, I would probably get, you know, used
a little
to
bit used
the
to the beach, but there's a reason they live there.
That's right.
They like the beach.
They didn't move there. I mean, unless you're born there, you didn't move there for shits and giggles. You moved there because you wanted to be close to the beach in the warm weather. That's the way that it is. Florida is a paradise in that sense. In most, you know, most places, most of those beaches are just beautiful.
They really are.
Especially in the Gulf and down in Naples. Mm-hmm. Just beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. You know, Florida itself. You know, I don't.
I have moments.
Listen, I was fortunate enough for a period of time to have a vacation place there, a condo there. But, you know, I sold it because I got taxed to death.
that's true.
Yeah, they may not have income tax, but they find a way to get that out of you. That's for sure. And it usually happens through real estate, which is why all those that beach property is expensive. But we went down to Alabama's where we went.
Yes, Orange Beach. I love that area too.
We went again down to Orange Beach. Second time there. We went first time. You know, you growing up as a Georgian, a person in Atlanta, Amelia Island, Naples, Florida, Panama City, Destin, Florida. You'd never heard about anybody going to Gulf Shores, Alabama or Pensacola, like in between Pensacola and Gulf Shores. Never. Orange Beach. I didn't even know that was until like 10 years ago. And all of a sudden, this place has exploded out of the ground.
Yeah.
And it is really a nice place.
It is.
I do have to say, listen, it's there's big buildings all up and down the strip. That's all it is. There's these huge condo buildings. But I do have to say that I like the vibe. Mm-hmm. I think it's cool. I'm all about Orange Beach. I'm telling you.
It's an easy drive over there.
Yeah.
And it's very nice.
Amelia Island is still my jam, but it's so fucking expensive to go down to Amelia Island. So fucking expensive.
And
it's tiny and it's crowded and all the stuff that everybody else complains about. But at least we had a chance to go. We saw Gustavo.
Yes.
Get married.
Congratulations. Gustavo.
We saw him get married. We saw him
graduate.
All the things. Yes, all the things. It was a day to rejoice. Happy, happy Georgia.
What a wonderful time. Okay, so you had the graduation, because that's really kind of like the last time I saw you was right before the graduation, because you went out of town for a week. Then I went out of town for a week.
And that was like December
and I know,
12th.
It was like mid-December.
Or 13th. Yeah.
And then... And then there was New Year's, and I'm thinking about, okay, so Gustavo's graduation, his marriage, Astrid's family is here.
Astrid's family comes in town.
There was the in-laws were in town too on Gustavo's wife's side. And then you roll into Christmas, New Year, and then Astrid's birthday.
And then Astrid's birthday, and then the whole fucking crew goes down to Orange Beach, two houses right across the street from each other.
What a big celebration time.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. It was one of my favorite holidays in memory. Yeah. The last holiday that I think... that would like top this holiday season. First of all, we had a lot of time off. It allowed me to recharge.
Yeah.
Second of all, we spent all of it with family, which made me feel good. I felt cozy and comfortable.
It does recharge your battery.
It does, right? And, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on with the business and stuff, but I was able to kind of like mitigate the stress with a lot of, you know, FaceTime with family and kids and all that other stuff. But then also, you know, the travel, it was, I don't like the actual travel part, getting from two to, you know, from A to B, but once I get there, I love it.
Oh yeah.
I loved it. We went to Houston. Houston is a town. Houston is a town.
Yeah.
Not my favorite city in America. I'll be real straightforward about that, but the people there are lovely and we've had some great food in Houston and, you know, then we go down to Orange Beach and that's great. And then we were here in Atlanta for the actual holiday for Christmas and New Year's. I mean, for Christmas, it was just, you know, it was a great time. This is a great time.
It is.
And, you know, then my wife's birthday, January 2nd, the kids were up past midnight, 4 days in a row. The day before New Year's Eve, New Year's Eve, we put them down for a nap, and then we let them stay up to see the ball drop. First time we've ever let them do that. They were so fucking excited. I have video of my son just screaming his full head off, dancing his butt.
Was it the New York one? It was a new ball. Oh, okay.
Well, we watched the New York one. That was because of where we were. That was an hour before we actually celebrated it. So we celebrated the Chicago one. Well, they do that Ryan Seacrest bullshit.
Yeah.
But we were with a bunch of Venezuelans anyway, so we weren't really watching that. But anyway, my son was shaking his butt. He loved it. The girls were dancing with everybody. You know, there's 20 people. We're all having a great time. And then January 1st on New Year's Day, everybody stays up late, hanging out, having fun, talking, playing games. And then January 2nd, my wife's birthday, everyone stays up late, talking, having fun. The kids, we've managed to put them to bed before midnight on January 2nd. Mm-hmm. But I went to bed about 1 o'clock local time. So that's 2 a.m. East Coast time, Miami time.
Yeah, you were up late.
I was up late. And I went to bed because one of the kids got up. So I went and I laid them with them in the bed. And then 30, 40 minutes later, the door popped right open and Astrid came running in. And she said the following words: they are bombing Caracas.
Gosh.
And I popped right out of bed. I knew exactly what she meant. Anybody who's paying attention knows exactly what was going on. They're waiting for this moment to happen, waiting for kind of hell to break loose because Trump and the administration have been threatening for a long time action down in Venezuela. They've been blowing up boats, which I do not agree with. I want to be clear about that. I don't believe in blowing people off the face of the earth because you think something might be going on. But Venezuela is a complicated situation.
Right.
And I know a lot of Venezuelans, so I understand their point of view. And I have come around to their point of view where I might have been very much a pacifist and, you know, I'm not wanting any kind of war, bombing, you know, any of this stuff. I have come to see the light on this one. And yeah, I want to share that with everybody. But let's do this. Let's take a break. We got to take a break. We always have to take a break. Always have to take a break. You got to pay some bills. What do you think? We do this for fun? We do this just for money. That's not true.
No.
But now I forgot where I put all the things on my board. On the big ugly board that Astrid wants to get rid of. Here
it is.
That's
the mini board too.
Yeah, that's the mini board. That's not even the big ugly board. That's just the mini board. But you know how Astrid is. She gets like that. Okay. Let's do this. Let's take a short break. And when we get back, I will talk all about Venezuela. Some of you have questions that you have dialed in. You know that I am married to a Venezuelan, and so you've been very kind and thoughtful, most of you, and you have questions, and I would love to answer them to the best of my ability, just being someone who's observed Venezuela and Venezuelans. But I think I probably know a little bit about the situation, not claiming to know everything, but I think I know enough to be dangerous. So let's do that after we return.
Okay, you're probably wondering why I, Rachel, have taken over the voice duties at TCB. It's pretty simple. Astrid asked me to shut Brian up, even for a minute. Well, lovely Astrid, your wish is my command. Do you want to help Astrid too? You know you do. Leave a message for her, or me, or Chrissy at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You can be on the show too. Mm-hmm. Just call and say something, anything, or text us and we'll text you right back. Promise. Then head over to tcbpodcast.com and get your free sticker. It's your constitutional right to a sticker and we must abide. You get the point. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and watch all the episodes on video at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Best to you and Astrid, especially Astrid.
I was just watching the weirdest video where a guy was sucking on a natural gas can.
What?
What? Is that a thing? Do we do that now?
No.
Are we doing that? Okay, just making sure.
Don't do that.
Okay. I'm making sure if the kids are into something, I want to try. Give it one try. No. That's the old, give it the old college try.
No.
At my age, glass of milk and some calcium pills. Good night.
Night, night.
Astrid is Venezuelan. You listen to the show, you know that. You know that we have long talked about Venezuela on the show and traditions and cultures and situations. I have not too much delved into the political situation down in Venezuela, except to say that clearly I have not agreed with it. But let's have a more nuanced conversation about this. I understand the point of view of an American, especially ones who disagree with the Trump administration on almost every single topic. And as someone who also disagrees with the Trump administration on almost every single topic, it's a hard pill to swallow that what Donald Trump has done and his administration have done are in fact a step in the right direction for Venezuela and Venezuelans. So we can argue the how and we can argue the what and we can argue the who, but the why and if they're done. Nicolas Maduro has been torturing the people of Venezuela for his entire reign, he was way worse than Chavez. Way worse than Chavez. He took it to 11. Chavez took it to 5. He took it to 11. Chavez, at least you could still eat and do business and, you know, have dollars and all that stuff. Maduro painted Venezuela in a very difficult corner, and then he got into bed with some of the worst in the worst around the world. There is a geopolitical larger picture here, which I won't get into too much here, but just to say that China, Cuba, and Russia have been puppeting Maduro for a long time, and that is no bueno for the United States of America. So there is a larger picture, but the smaller picture is, and the one that really matters, is that Venezuelans, native Venezuelans, people who lived under the Maduro regime or have family that did, or friends, they know that this is one bad hombre.
Yeah.
He is a bad dude, and he is a criminal, and he has a criminal regime. And they have been doing bad things to the Venezuelan population for a long time, up into and including murder.
Mm.
And so taking him out was absolutely the right move. And they did it with him alive and facing justice. So there you go. Any Venezuelan that you talk to will agree with me. 99% of them. He needed to go. There are, of course, people that support Nicolas Maduro down in Venezuela. They support Nicolas Maduro mainly because, number one, they are part of the regime. Or number two, they are benefiting directly from the regime. Mm-hmm. And this includes people who are very desperate, and they take food or small amounts of money to do the bidding of the regime. That is a complicated situation, and it makes the situation down there right now very complicated. So people, I'm just going to tackle some of the questions,
yeah.
Right? What gives us the right to go into a sovereign nation and take out the president of another nation? Sovereignty only exists if there is a legitimate government in place. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that no country, no democratic country in the world recognizes the Maduro regime as the legitimate leadership of Venezuela. As a matter of fact, in 2024, there was an election. Someone else was voted in office by, some say, 90% of the vote. This vote was watched by international a cadre of people who do this type of thing, and they called it a free and fair election, and overwhelming support for the opposition, overwhelming support. But Nicolas Maduro called it a fake election, and he did not release the grip of power. He has been playing games for a long time on the world stage, and...
Because how long has he been in power? Is it...
I think it's 13 years.
Okay.
Yeah, 13, 14 years. Chavez died, and he handpicked Maduro to take his place. So, yes, we should not be going into sovereign nations and taking out the leadership. But this is not a legitimate leadership. This is a criminal organization. And that is what happens when you spend 13 years being a criminal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, someone had to do something because they had elections. They tried coups. They tried everything. They protested in the streets. If the Venezuelan people could have done this themselves, they would have long ago done this. They needed help, and help came. And as I said in a video on Instagram, if you got thrown overboard with a brick tied to your ankle, you would not be picky about who threw you the lifeline. You would not.
Mm.
You would grab at the first hand that came down in the water. And that's how most Venezuelans feel. Almost all of them that I know. Actually, all of them that I know.
Yeah,
that's it. That's right. That's the bottom line. Okay, number two. All we did is go in there for the oil. The United States of America set up the oil business in the first place down in Venezuela. The Venezuelans themselves asked for the help. They teamed up with the United States and United States oil companies to make sure that they could get to the oil, number one, and number two, so that they could refine the type of oil that they have. I am not one to believe that, you know, they owe the United States oil. It's their resources.
Mm-hmm.
But oil is not the only thing they have. They have gold. They have minerals. They have stuff that is useful. It's resources that are worth money to the Venezuelan community at large. They need help. They need help getting it out of the ground and refining it. It's not easy to do. And some say the Americans are the only ones who have the type of technology that can do this. Okay. So Donald Trump ain't doing anything for free. We already know this about Donald Trump. He ain't doing anything for free. But if you ask some Venezuelans, most Venezuelans, they will say that Russia, China, and Cuba have been taking the oil for themselves this entire time for the last 13 years. So if someone's going to take the oil, let it be the people who know how to do something with it. And maybe, maybe if this is played correctly, fairly, and with accountability, maybe the Venezuelan people at large can benefit from it. There can be jobs, there can be dollars, there can be, you know, something can spread out to the community at large. Let's keep our eyes on the prize. Let's hope that happens. Okay, number three. Well, they just left the same regime in power. Correct. They did. But I have a question for you, and I want you to think about this in a nuanced way. We did this in Iraq, and we did this in Afghanistan. And
it didn't go well.
It didn't go well.
Yeah.
We went in and we took out everybody. We took out everybody we thought might be associated with the current administration that we thought was no good. And they had oil. And we, you know, and I get it. I understand. We're once bitten, twice shy about all of this stuff. But if you simply just take everybody out and leave the country, or take everybody out and hope that you can go get the oil fields, there are also other interests at play, mainly the Cubans, the Russians, the Chinese, the colectivos, which are armed gangs that are down there, the FARC, which is a, you know, narco-terrorism group down in Colombia and in Venezuela. There are people who will come in and fill that vacuum that are armed to the teeth and ready and waiting to pounce on the opportunity to get a hold of all the money that those oil fields represent and other stuff. And not to mention just power over 30 million people, right? So let's not be so naive to believe that we can just go down there, take everybody out, and then put somebody in place and everything's going to happen. Hey, happy days. Woo, yeah. You know, the next day, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be a process.
There's going to be a Starbucks in the middle of Caracas. That's not going to happen, right? That's not going to happen. It's a process. And things are dangerous right now. It's very precarious. And so my opinion is, you know, in for a penny, in for a pound. Now we have to help the Venezuelans get through this transition period. And then we have to discuss very quickly how we have a free and fair election or install the rightful president of Venezuela. Okay. Oil is part of the equation. It always was. It always will be.
Yeah.
We're not doing anything for free. Let's just say it like we mean it. And I don't necessarily agree with all of the greed. I don't. But sometimes the ends do justify the means. Not everything is black and white. Actually, nothing in life is black and white. Nothing in life is black and white. Okay? So here we are. Let's support the Venezuelans. Let's support their voices. Let's support their objectives. And let's help them get to a place where they're in a better place. That's it. Okay. Number four. All these people who are protesting, some people even going so far as to say that Nicolas Maduro needs to be freed.
Huh. Where? Here or in? Yeah,
no, there are people here that are saying that, right? Okay. And there are lots of people in Venezuela. That, yeah. Lots of the regime is saying that in Venezuela. That Nicolas Maduro is still the president. He needs to be returned. He's the leader. Blah, 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 blah. Be careful about who you listen to. Because first of all, you know, when I turn on the stations that I normally listen to, when I turn on the TV that I normally watch, I'm hearing a lot of kind of dumb talk, right? Dumb talk that they're just angry at Trump, and so am I, but they're angry at Trump for doing anything that included using the military. I don't disagree, but this is complicated. And we can't just be so blind as to just hate Trump and then disagree with everything he does, so he has to undo it immediately. Because that would be suffering a worse fate than anything the United States could impose right now. Let's be careful about who we listen to, because also there are lots of people around the world, including foreign governments, that want to influence this outcome. Mm-hmm. And we have to be careful. There are videos going around right now, if you watch them on Instagram, of people who are protesting this whole thing, right? Protesting Trump and protesting Nicolas Maduro's arrest. And people are asking these people who are protesting, what do you know about Nicolas Maduro? Why do you support him, right? Or why do you want him back? And they can't answer a single question.
Yeah.
And then the question is asked, are you Venezuelan? And the answer is no, almost every time. Now, this could be selective editing. This could be just people walking up to random people and they just pick the answers that they choose. I'm not so dumb as to believe also that people who agree with me are not also, you know, doing some propaganda here, right? But at the end of the day, I think this is largely a coordinated effort to discredit Trump or to support the regime, right? We have to be really careful about who we listen to right now. Number five, I thought that you were against Trump and why would you support this, right? Was one of the questions. When Biden was in office, he put a $25 million bounty on Maduro's head. $25 million is a lot of money for any Venezuelan who's been picking out of a garbage can. Yeah. You think that's a joke? It's not. Picking out of a garbage can to survive day to day. $25 million. They knew exactly what they were doing when they did that, when the State Department did that. They were hoping to affect change down in Venezuela, mm-hmm. but they didn't do the job. They just left it up to other people to go in there and do it, right? Biden said when he was running for office in 2019 for the 2020 election, he said he was going to take care of this. He said he was going to take action. He said he was going to install the rightful president of Venezuela. He did none of that. Mm-hmm. He did none of it. He just put a bounty on Maduro's head and further constrained the situation down there by putting more sanctions. And then he took sanctions off once Russia invaded Ukraine. But that's complicated. But the Democrats, including Chuck Schumer, have been yelling and screaming for anybody to do anything about Venezuela for years and years and years until it happened under Trump. And now all of a sudden they've changed their tune, right? Mm-hmm. They are scoring political points. This is playing politics with people's lives. Is this going to work out great? I don't know. Is it dangerous? Of course it is. Is it leading to chaos? Yes, it is. But, you know, it's one small little beam of light in a very dark room for the last 13 years. And I'm listening to the people around me. I'm listening to the people around me, have been for 30 years, right? I have come around to their way of thinking. This is a dangerous man who needed to be put in his place. And his place is probably a cell. That's where he needs to be. Mm-hmm. And his wife should not be called his wife. She should be called by her name because she is just as bad as he is. Just as bad as he is. So these two people are now in jail. Let's let them have a trial.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. I guarantee they're not going to be found innocent of the charges.
No.
They aren't. Now, the Trump administration has some problems with the way they did this. They have some problems with, you know, not talking to Congress about this, not informing the Gang of Eight and some other things. But OK, but you can't put the cat back in the bag now. And that certainly doesn't mean returning Nicolas Maduro.
No,
to
I was going to say there's no way that that's going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. No. If tomorrow elections were held in the United States of America and the most liberal of liberals won the presidency, they would be read in. And once they were read in, I can guarantee you, they would have the same exact stance. Nicolas Maduro will serve time in jail. He will be put in front of a judge and we will figure this out because you can't just be that naive. You can't. And so it makes me a little bit sad when I see all of these Instagram accounts and all these people that I usually like love their content, follow them and agree with them. It makes me a little bit sad that they kind of have like uninformed voices or maybe like very skewed opinions of what's going on. But I think I also have to understand that if I didn't know any Venezuelans.
Well, I was going to say, not everybody has the same insight into firsthand knowledge that you have of, you know, people actually living there.
Well, how do you feel about this? And how do people that you know feel about this?
I mean, it just happened, really, you know. Yeah. So I was shocked. But yeah, I see that he had to go. And I mean, I've known enough through you and through Astrid and meeting Astrid's family that, yeah, something had to change. Something had to change. Now, how it was all done, like you said, maybe every box wasn't ticked. But again, yeah, we're such in a, you know, the one side hates the other side so much.
Yeah. Anything that anybody does is prickly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And listen, I know.
I mean, my dad was born in Venezuela and, was part of that. The oil, his family was part of that. His dad was a yes. geologist. And was down there finding the minerals and the oils and the stuff. And that was in the 60s, 70s. So I've always kind of, you know, had a love for Venezuela, like my dad.
There you go.
So, Yeah, I've been a little familiar with it. It sounds like things have just gotten awful there.
Yeah, it's terrible. And the larger diaspora, 8 million, 9 million people have fled that country.
Right.
Spain, Colombia, mm-hmm. and the United States of America yeah. are holding the majority of those people. Mm-hmm. And things have just gotten terrible, terrible for the everyday Venezuelan. And, you know, they wanted this. They wanted this. They begged for this. They screamed into the void for years and years and years. And the world would pay attention for a minute and then they'd move on. Mm-hmm. And then they'd pay attention for another minute and then they'd move on. And nothing ever came of it. No real support in any meaningful way to affect change. And
yeah, best case scenario to me is that now the whole administration is able to put pressure on, you know, even though it's the same regime. They're able to at least put enough pressure on them to make changes. It's going to be yes. a process, and it isn't going to happen overnight.
No.
But, yeah.
And they're going to play games, and they're going to say things sure. that sound anti-Trump and anti-American and Nicolas Maduro and all this. They're going to play games. But they have to right now. They have to keep things in line. They want to keep the trains running on time, so to speak, because they know, if they're smart, they know that total civil breakdown
yeah.
is not what's needed right now, right? So at first, when Trump came out and said, you know, we're supporting the president, or we're talking to the vice president, who's mm-hmm. now the president, I thought to myself, holy shit, what is he doing? But at given 24 hours mm-hmm. and really thinking
and I think
through,
we're going to learn more too yeah. over the next week.
Yeah, I think we're going to learn a lot more. I think that the next couple of weeks, things are going to move fast and furious, mm-hmm. and we're just going to have to, you know, see how it plays out. I can't tell the future. I don't know. All I know is one thing happened that was really good for the everyday Venezuelan. And that's that Nicolas Maduro is far away from the ability to do anything else to the mm-hmm. Venezuelan people. Now, there's a lot of people there that could still do stuff to the Venezuelan people and probably will. But maybe over time, as Chrissy mentioned, maybe over time, the pressure campaign can mount. Listen, now they know.
Yeah.
If you screw around.
Yeah, we're going to come in there.
Someone's going to come in and
right.
you know, jerk a knot in your tail or worse. I think Nicolas Maduro was lucky to get out alive, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I was watching a video where Nicolas Maduro was being walked into a DEA office in New York. You know, they did this whole perp
right.
walk with him.
I saw that.
Flew him up to New York.
Yeah.
Took him out of the plane. They walked him around. They took pictures with him, you know, like he was some doll or something. But I guess that's what you do when these situations happen. But they walked him into the DEA office, and Nicolas Maduro's walking in there. He's like, hey, everybody, happy new year. Hey, yeah. everybody, happy new year. Not for you.
No.
Not for you. But I'm sorry. You know, that really pissed a lot of people off, because it's like, this guy thinks this is all a fucking joke. Well, he's been thinking that for a long time. And he found out, right? I'm mm-hmm. not going to say it because I don't want to sound like Pete Hegseth, but he messed around and he found out.
Yeah.
So, okay. All right. Let's take a short break, and then we'll talk more. You want to talk more?
Let's do it.
We'll talk more. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears. And I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now, I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the commercial break.
Really, really strange. Let me turn on the camera. Yeah. Really strange commercial for a natural gas. I don't know. Hey, listen. It's all happening, Chrissy. It's all happening.
Whee! Happy New Year.
Yeah. Also, okay. Also, a lot of people have commented. Say a lot of people, like 6 or 7 people have commented. I follow you on Instagram. What's going on? Yeah. So my Instagram, my personal Instagram page, Brian W. Green. You can follow it if you want to. I do talk a lot about Venezuela and Venezuelan things and, you know, being married to a Latina and all that other stuff. So that's what's going on. It's, yeah, it's gone gangbusters.
It has.
Yeah. Well, even Mike Pesca from The Gist reached out to me. Me and Mike talk a lot, but he reached out to me on the day after all of this happened on Saturday. First of all, on Friday night, we were up all night. I mean, we were all watching the news, WhatsApp groups, all over the place.
I was thinking about you guys.
Yeah, then we go to sleep. And like 40 minutes later, I get up to go to the bathroom and I check my text. And it's like, Maduro's been captured. And everybody's up again. We're all like,
I know.
It's like, we're trying to get some sleep. But Mike Pesca was like, hey, man, you know, what's your take on the Venezuelan situation? And I'm like, you are so much. He's like a geopolitical expert, Mike Pesca.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, dude, you know much more than me. He's like, no, you're a resource. And I'm like,
you are. Yeah. You've got firsthand knowledge.
Yeah, I do. But I mean, you know, I'm not an expert in anything. I just sound like an expert.
You've got a pulse on the people.
I do have a pulse on the people. Mm-hmm. She's right in my house and I follow her around and go, does this sound right? Is this the right word? She's so annoyed. She's so annoyed. Because there's like these, there's, you know, I liken this to not knowing, like imagine you've never seen water before, right? But then someone goes, congratulations, you're the best swimmer in the world. And you're like, what is water? Yeah, what is water? Right? Because all these like people who are well known in Venezuela are like following and commenting and messaging me. And I'm like, oh,
I love that.
Yeah. And other people are freaking out. And I'm like, I don't know.
I'm picturing like you getting off a plane in Venezuela at some point and like people being like, Brian Green.
Yeah. Green go. It's funny because on Instagram, I do these, you know, I script a lot of this stuff out. I sound much different on Instagram than I do here because this is all improv. I have no script, but there I scripted out some of it out.
Yeah.
To make sure that I'm saying it correctly, right? I don't want to make a misstep on this.
No, you cannot.
There's a lot of
now
people,
that eyes are on you.
Yeah, now that there's a lot of eyes on me, I can't. Like, I just want to make sure that I'm not, you know, misspeaking in any way, shape, or form. Plus, you have 2 minutes there, essentially 2 minutes to like get people's attention. Here, I'm talking for days on end, right? I can say whatever I want to. I can correct it. I can go back and, ums and
people just know not to.
Yeah. don't pay attention to what he says there. So when I do it, I put closed captions on it that then can be translated into Spanish. Well, when I say gringo, which I say a lot in my videos, when I say gringo, Instagram thinks I'm saying green go. And so I was like, oh, after a while, it was like, it keeps on doing it. The closed captions. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I could be Brian Green Go.
Gringo.
Like gringo, you know?
Gringo.
And Astrid was like, yeah. Gringo. Astrid goes, don't be
she's
stupid.
Sad.
Yeah. She goes, you're so old. You're so old. I was like, that's a catchy name. She's like, it's not a catchy name, actually. It's pretty fucking lame. Don't be that.
But I see where you're going with it.
Yeah.
The green.
Yeah. Green
it's
go.
Green
go. Yeah. But it was funny because I went to Houston. I don't know if I told you this story, but I go to Houston and my brother-in-law's sister-in-law, we went to their house for a party. Okay. We're there at the house and there's some chatter going on over in the corner, like excited chatter going on, like what we call an habladera. So people like talking all fast and at each other and all this. But I don't understand what they're saying, but I understand they're talking about me.
Okay.
But there's a lot going on, but I'm like, I don't know. And
you're used to that.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm very used to people talking about me behind my back. That's right. It's been going on forever. It's been going on since I was a baby.
No, but I mean, the Venezuelan
behind your back. It's been 30 years. This has been going
on. Yeah.
I'm the gringo, Pelones. So then somebody comes over and says, oh, a lot of people are excited that you're here. They want to come over and meet you. And I said, what? And they go, well, you know, someone mentioned that you were here and everybody follows you on Instagram and they like your videos. And so they wanted to come over and they want to come over and meet you. They're here local. So
gather around.
Yeah. And I'm like, what?
People.
Yeah. Gather around, my little Venezuelans. Let me tell you a story about an Irishman and a podcast. So stupid. First of all, I'm like, no, don't. The Irishman in the podcast, a tale as old as time. An Irishman in a podcast about Venezuela, a Latin American country, where they're two shades darker. And don't speak the same language. But you, my friend, have the keys to the kingdom. Let us all meet at a house in Houston. I was floored. I was like, whoa, that's
fun.
Nah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, sure. It's nice. You know, you feel like, oh, that's cool. But then I was thinking about it at night and I had to talk to Astrid. I was like, did he really? What were they? And she goes, yeah, they wanted to come over and meet you. And I'm like, oh, God.
You're famous.
Nah, I don't think fame is the word. I think people appreciate.
Yes.
Yeah. They, I think.
You speaking out and having some knowledge.
I think my love for the Venezuelans in my life has translated into me understanding and being empathetic of some of the cultural things. But let me be clear about this. 90% of the time, I have to check with Astrid to make sure that I'm getting it right. She is my executive producer, my script writer, my director. Like she, I am, there is none of this content happens without Astrid, number one. Number two is that I am no expert. And even some of the things that I talk about, like I was talking about New Year's Eve and I was saying like, you know, hey, you know, turn off Ryan Seacrest.
Did y'all do your grapes?
We did do our grapes, but Astrid and I were like, we're not doing 12 grapes.
Okay.
First of all, the grapes this year were huge. Second of all, no one can do that. No one. I mean, I'm sure people do with tiny grapes, but the tradition is 12 seconds before midnight, you eat a grape every second.
Yeah, that's hard.
Making a wish for every month of the new year. Well, first of all, I can't do anything that fast. And second of all, you know, you, like I said in one of my videos, you'll be chewing to death or choking to death. Yeah. One of the two.
I know. I was surprised to hear that it was 12 seconds.
12 seconds. 12
I thought it was
grapes.
More like 12 minutes.
No. Each I mean, some people do have their variation of it, but I think Astrid and I ate three or four grapes. You know, it's like, okay, you're going to die. You're going to die. But they have a lot of superstitions and traditions that go along with this. And so, you know, I was saying on this video, well, stop going and watching Ryan Seacrest and going to bed at 1 a.m. You know, you're partying with Venezuelans. You'll be up. But the truth is, for me, sometimes I do go to bed at 1 a.m. Even though I'm with Venezuelans, I'm still a gringo. Like I still do gringo things, right? I'm not like 100% encased in Venezuelan culture. So it's authentic to what I know, but I never try and claim that like I'm the expert. I do all of these things.
No,
like,
it
every single
seem like
time.
That.
No, you know, it's
your perspective.
It's an it's observational content is what it is. But the love for Venezuela and the love for their culture and their understanding of who they are as a people, at least my understanding of them is authentic. That's all authentic. But I've just enjoyed sharing with other people what I know about Venezuela. It's been a lot of fun. And Astrid, as I mentioned earlier today, is super supportive and absolutely annoyed. Yeah. Absolutely annoyed. She's absolutely annoyed. But I would be too. Let's just be honest. I would be too. I mean, if this was the shoe was on the other foot and Astrid was all of a sudden had, you know, 25,000 people following her because she's talking about, you know, how we love the Kardashians. I think I would be like, fuck you. Because we watch E! Entertainment before red carpets. Yeah, that's, you know, it is one of those things. So, all right. Well, there you go. Season number seven in full effect.
Upon us.
Yeah, we're doing a little bit of a short show today because we had one of our last interviews earlier today. You'll hear that next week with Jeff Hiller. That was great.
He's so good.
Oh, man, it was a lot of fun. I had a lot more fun than I expected to have with Jeff.
Yeah, he's great.
But he is great, and he will be on next week. You'll hear that episode next week. Chrissy and I will be back on Thursday around 1 p.m. for another live streaming episode. Then you'll hear that on Friday. So, you know, stay tuned. It's all flexible.
Yeah.
And so we might
That's our New Year's resolution is to be flexible.
Our New Year's resolution is this. We will do between 2 and 4 episodes a week. Depending on how we feel.
Between
noon and 4. Between Tuesday and Saturday.
Yes.
So stay tuned. Yeah. Watch the bouncing ball. Yes. Watch this space. That's my good friend Rachel Maddow would say. I couldn't watch Rachel Maddow last night because I knew what she was going to talk about. Yeah. I didn't want it to make me mad. So I left it alone. Did you watch her?
No, I I was over on CNN, and I was looking at Fox News too, because I like to be, I like to see what the side's saying.
Well, they had Maria Machado on, and so I watched her interview. She didn't say much of substance except to kind of kiss the rosy bum of Donald Trump. But I know that's the game she's got to play right,
right there
now.
There's a whole game going on.
Yeah. But, you know, there are, you can follow me on Instagram, or you can, there's lots of good resources. One of them being Joanna Hausman. You can watch her. Mm-hmm. You know who said some smart stuff? Michelle Wolf, who we just interviewed.
Yeah.
And she had some really wise things to say about the whole situation down in Venezuela. So, you know, there's lots of resources out there. I am not the only one. So follow me, don't follow me, whatever. Figure it out. But follow The Commercial Break at Instagram so that you can learn when we go live. You can see clips of the show. You can watch all of our episodes on youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Every single episode. You can also go to our website, tcbpodcast.com. Every single episode, audio and video, it's all there. You can also get your free sticker. Yes, we still have free stickers. We still give them away. Go to the website, tcbpodcast.com. Go to the Contact Us button. Drop-down menu says, I want my free sticker. Give us your physical address, and we will send one away. I think we still have some merch stickers available. I've got some merch, too.
Yes.
I've got some extra merch. So if you want extra merch, email us at the same place with the free stickers. Email us and we'll figure out how to figure it out. We'll figure out how to figure it out.
Yeah, we'll get it to you.
We'll give it to you. We'll airmail it to you. You pay the postage. I don't know. We'll figure that out. Okay, Chrissy. I do suppose that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
Okay, but I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
I'll say best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast and streaming audience. Until Thursday, we will say. We do say, and we must say.
Goodbye.